flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. If you're listening to 1120 AM and you are in a car in St. Louis, try 98.7 FM. Works really great in my car because I have radio now.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, look at you.
It's the craziest thing. Turn these buttons. All sorts of different stations.
Man.
It's nutty.
Turn it on for the first time and you hear the voices, you're like, I think this car is haunted.
Yeah, what's going on?
It has been really weird. I know we kid around about this a lot, but it is the craziest damn thing.
You hear your own voice doing a commercial and you're like, what is going on?
just getting in the car every day and
you're like, this is my car.
Yeah.
This is home now. It's a good feeling, isn't it?
I guess.
Does it? You're like, I'm just warm.
You miss being miserable in your old
Yeah,
day.
He's like, I miss the misery.
I kind of do.
There's virtue in the misery.
And no,
by
there
that
isn't.
I mean, none.
There's misery in the misery.
You probably just have like Stockholm Syndrome for that car.
Dave feels like he doesn't deserve to be warm on his drive.
Dave's like, I don't deserve a radio and warmth.
Yeah, what's that called? Flagellating?
Like self-flagellation?
Self-flagellation?
Yeah, punishing yourself for no reason.
I think there was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
To that.
Do you think the new Jeep is jealous? Like, it's not fair. Like, I give him everything.
Yeah.
The new Jeep is like the stupid old Jeep.
Yeah. The new Jeep is like, I've done everything for you. I've taken such good care of you.
Like, are you serious? That last Jeep wasn't even hot.
When are you going to learn
She wasn't good enough for you.
She didn't even have windows, dude.
Every time you get a text, the new Jeep's like, who's that?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
You talking to your old Jeep?
It's the four-door, isn't it?
Yeah.
Funny, because I don't talk to my old owner, but I mean, if you want to talk to the old Jeep,
Yeah, he's like,
different standards.
Look, I used to be owned by somebody else, too, okay? But it's just like, you know, I try to leave the past in the past. I just want to move
Living in the present. I'm going to be very present.
Why don't you just break the radio and take out all my windows? You'll be happy. Yeah. You'll be happy then.
Would you be happy then?
Am I good enough for you now?
Look at me.
Stop looking at her.
I'm awful, just like your ex. That's all I'm going to think about when I get in the Jeep.
Yeah, good thing your Jeep doesn't have a voice of its own.
Right?
Be like David.
It would be like that.
I heard you today.
I tell you,
I have
much.
A radio. I heard what you said.
Because I just came out of a 220,000-mile Jeep that I had to treat with kid gloves all the time, I'm driving this like it's an egg. Like, I've barely had it above 60 miles an hour.
You'll grow out of that.
I hope so.
I kind of did the same thing for a while, and then I'm like, eh, it's back. It's
yeah, Wheeler's well. Taking the Camaro it's over snowbanks and stuff. Wheeler's doing jumps on the highway.
Might have done some donuts. No, I didn't do that. I should have, though. That would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder where the old Jeep is.
Probably in a junkyard.
Oh! Wow!
Wow.
That's where mentally, that's where you need to put the Jeep.
That's a good point. I agree.
It's in the past.
It's gone.
You got to block the Jeep on all social media platforms.
Yeah, that's true.
That Jeep.
There is no Jeep. Yeah, you gotta go cold turkey from the Jeep.
There is no Jeep before 20.
Gotta go no contact.
Yeah, you gotta go on your Instagram. You gotta delete all the photos of you in the Jeep.
Oh, you know what, Skip? I forgot something in my old Jeep. Where is it?
Yeah, they didn't even make Jeep Wranglers before 2021.
I just really need to get something out of the glove compartment. I just realized. No. I'm not gonna drive it. I'm not gonna take it anywhere. I just really need to just talk to it for 1 second.
I just got a question.
I just want to know something about something that it did one time.
I wonder if anyone saw me crying.
I hope so. That would be very funny.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think you're alone in that. I think a lot of people do that because people do get attached to cars.
14 years.
Yeah, people get attached to cars. Because most people that have a car that they care about, like a lot of us, I've had many cars where I couldn't care less. I hate that car, or it's annoying, or it's boring, or I just have it because I have it. You know, when you have one you like and you picked and it's very cool, that's a different thing. And my dad had a Corvette for, I don't know, my entire life until I went to college. He loved that car. I'm sure he was pretty upset when he got rid of it.
My first car was a lime green Hyundai Accent. And it was the worst car I've ever had by a huge margin. And when I got rid of it, I just, like, gave it to a junkyard because I'm like, I can't get any money out of this. The junkyard ended up selling it to somebody, and I would see this thing around town.
Oh, no.
For like 4 years, I would just see it pop up from place to place. Last place I ever saw
was
in like a... It was a little awkward.
Did you wave and go, hi?
And I'd be like a little jealous, because that car had like a lot of character, because it was a lime green Hyundai
Accent. I hadn't even considered seeing my old Jeep.
What if you... How would you know, though?
Because it's the only one like it.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I figured there are others.
Nope. It was the only two-door 10th anniversary sold in St. Louis.
All right. The only one?
The only one.
Really?
Yep.
Get out of here.
I called Phil over at Lou Fuse 15 years ago. I'm like, I need a Jeep. He's like, I'm looking at your Jeep right now. It's a 10th anniversary, two-door, black interior. It's the only one like it. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Wow.
That's how we met.
Man, you guys were meant for each other.
Right?
You're going to see it at the Schnucks parking lot. It's going to be like, oh, hey. Yeah, no, I kind of didn't think I'd see you here. No, this is...
the old Jeep sees your new Jeep, is like, well...
You look really good.
Traded me in for a new model, huh?
You look really good. You got washed, you got detailed. You look good.
Got your windows in somehow.
You seem
had
happy.
Had some work done.
No, you seem happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely had work done. Those aren't her original windows.
Her headlights.
Especially the back one. She had no back one.
Why is that
see,
so funny?
I see you got the windows in finally. That's No, I think that's great. No, it's good.
It's good that he's taking care
of
you.
For me.
It's weird that you wouldn't accept it when I had you, but no, it's fine.
Yeah, it really just felt like you didn't really try to help me get the back windows in.
Yeah, I should appreciate my new Jeep more.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know what? You might feel the same way about that Jeep in 15 years.
Yeah. What if I traded it back?
For the old one?
Dave's like, I'll just keep making the payment.
Yeah.
Just give me the old Jeep.
Yeah, just, you know, just drop it off.
That's what I deserve.
Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. All right, so I saw a couple things related to jobs that struck me as being interesting, but also kind of disturbing in a couple of different ways. So I saw a story, and it was in the story there are people that are analysts that analyze the job market and people's careers and things along those lines. And it turns out that 75% of employees, like new employees, so basically I think it sounds like it's the younger generations of people, Gen Z and millennials, less so X, although maybe some Gen X too, that 75% of employees right now leave their jobs before they ever get promoted. And it's because that only 1% of those people that stay in their jobs 3 years get a promotion within 3 years.
Wow.
So basically the new way is the only way to advance yourself is to job hop. Is to go from one place to another where you can see that place is valuing my skills more. I go there and I can make more or get whatever, you know, get whatever that means as a step up. It can be benefits. It can be medical coverage. It can be salaries, usually probably salary. And I know that what ends up happening when people see a story like that or a headline, they're like, wow, all these people, they won't wait their turn or they won't. But they're not getting anything from staying.
Mm-hmm.
How does it make sense for an entire job market to make it so that people have no incentive to keep the job they have?
There's no incentive to do the extra.
Gotta be a reason, right?
There's no. Well, yeah, I know the reason. The reason is it's cheaper. So a lot of companies accept lesser quality, less effort because it's cheaper. Because why are you going to put in extra when there's no promotion waiting for you? You're not outperforming the person next to you. And even if you do, you're not going anywhere. So what's the incentive when you could just leave for another job, take this and put this on your resume as experience, don't cause any trouble, do your job to the standard that's necessary, and then you can move on when the next better job comes along. And you're kind of always in this job search status where no matter what you're doing, you're always looking to the next thing, which, by the way, is not uncommon in our business going back decades, right? You typically, in radio, don't have people that start in one place and they just stay there and move up the ranks, right? You have to leave to move up. You have to leave to get a better show, and then you come back. Or maybe you don't. You know, I mean, like, that's been the norm. It wasn't my career.
You know what I'm thinking? I don't think I've been promoted since I was put on the Corn Crew in 1979.
Yeah, but we're also in spots where we're not, like, Andrew and I
never had a promotion.
Yeah, Andrew and I talked about our business is different, though. There's nowhere to be promoted to when you have the afternoon show.
True.
And the only way to get more would be to do what? Job hop.
Quit and go somewhere else.
Be job hop, right? It would be to take the Let's CNN offer Let's when you had that opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's making some compelling arguments.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Yeah, in our spot, we actually have the power to negotiate and say, even if I'm keeping the same job, I can negotiate better terms or I can go somewhere else. Most jobs, you can't. Most jobs, you're looking at this is what we pay for this job. These are the benefits. These are the hours. Take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that kind of job, I think it's fascinating, though, that it's viewed as better by employers in general to just keep recycling employees and paying them and doing as little for them as we possibly can than it is to try to get good employees and keep them and have better quality of work being done. Like, that is clearly the less preferable option.
I wonder if it is industry specific or if it's just across the board.
Well, the story is about the job market across the board. But it could be certain industries that are waiting that, if that makes any sense, right?
Maybe it's kind of evil.
Yeah, I mean,
or at least it goes against the America I grew up in,
right?
Or at least the America I was sold.
Well, it's very much about profit margin, right? What's the best way to keep costs down?
But you wonder.
It's to pay employees less.
You wonder, though, if you could time travel back to the 50s and 60s, if a CEO back then would say, oh, I completely disagree. This is the way to maximize profits. You take care of people, you give them a good living wage, you give them a pension, that's the way you do it. I wonder if they would go like, well, of course, treating them like cattle is the way to do it, but we just were better people than that.
I don't think that, I think the evaluation process was different then, right? Like the evaluation was about profitability, of course, right? You needed to be profitable. But it was not as much about the stock price. It was not as much about, and keep in mind too, Dave, like back then a CEO was not making that much more than other employees, right? The gap there now is monumental. So I think that there was a little bit more of identifying with your employees as a CEO when you were maybe making five times what the other people were, maybe 10 times. Now it's hundreds of times. You're not even in the same world. You don't even interact. You don't see each other. There's no connection. It's just, it's almost like buying goldfish. You don't have a connection to those goldfish. They're just goldfish.
To what extent do you guys believe that American employers / bosses / CEOs owe it to an employee to treat them in such a way that benefits the employee but not the company?
I wouldn't say that you owe anybody that, but I would say that the value that we have now, the scale has gone the wrong way, too far the wrong way. It's gone too far. We know it's to the point where if you miss projected profits, right, you're not losing money, but if you make less than you thought, the way to make up for that is to eliminate people's jobs. In a lot of cases, not 100%, but in a lot of cases, well, we forecasted that we were going to make $4 billion this quarter. We only made 3.5. How do we make that up? Well, 500 people have to lose their jobs.
I mean, like, that's a totally acceptable decision in the United States of America today. I don't think it would have been 50 years ago. I think 50 years ago, people would have been like, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, you still made money. You still made a lot of money, right? You still made money. And that's where, falling short of projections is not the same as losing money. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, you still made a lot. You still were in the plus by a lot.
For example, here at our company, and I'm sure this is across the board in most companies that have salespeople, is that let's say you sell $1 million worth of business. The next year, they're going to want you to do $1.2 million for no reason other than you did $1 million this year.
Yeah, and I don't really have a problem with saying that's the goal, but you also shouldn't be penalizing.
But those things are inextricably tied now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to get paid, you have to hit your goal.
Yeah. And what I would say also is if you set a goal and that goal is more in the plus than you were in the... Now, if you're saying, hey, guys, we're barely cutting it right now. We need to get to this level to be able to survive. And you don't reach there? Well, of course, duh. But the survival of the company is at stake. But when it's not about survivability, when it's simply, well, that's not enough in the plus because we thought we would make more in the plus, that's a weird thing to me.
Well, especially, I mean, don't we have our limits? If you hit 300 in college or you benched 300 in college and someone came to you and said, that's fantastic, we need you to do 400. There comes a point when you say, I can't.
Well, there will be a point where you can't, right? I mean, you can always shoot for more, but there is absolutely a limit at in any given time, right? You can say, but physically there are limits, of course. Like, you're not going to bench press 800 pounds. Nobody's doing that. But if you're gonna say, can you do 5 pounds more? Well, yeah, that's how you get better. But you don't punish the not getting better. You know what I'm saying?
No.
That'd be like saying you bench press 300 now. If it's not 310 by the end of the year, we're going to beat the crap out of you. Like, that's why? I achieved a really good thing. I got to a really high level, and I'm going to try to go more. But why am I going to take a beating if I don't get it? She made me
cry. She done me wrong. I'm getting pretty close to being done with Fetterman. You know, I get it. I get it. I see it. But it's not doing what you think it's doing. And it's not doing for you what you think it's doing. I understand the whole I'm bucking the system and you don't have to wear a suit and tie. Okay. But you don't have to look like you're running late for third grade.
Yeah.
When you're meeting with, who is it?
The president of Israel.
Of Israel. And you're sitting there in shorts and a hoodie.
Yeah.
No. You represent me.
I love.
I think that's a good point, Dave. They're not representing themselves.
No,
they're
it's not
representing
the
their country. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it's funny that, like, okay, so that's the ultimate act of defiance to the system is wearing your hoodie and your basketball shorts. Like,
right.
You're so lame.
Right.
You're so lame.
Do something real.
Right.
Really stand up to the system.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of the belief that we go overboard with formality, but there's a difference between being in a $5,000 suit, or I don't even, that's, is that even enough now? Should it be a $10,000 suit and a perfect red tie and all of that stuff versus the other end of the spectrum? You could be in the middle and be like, this is a nice.
Would you wear that to a funeral? If you are, you're a piece of crap.
Yeah.
And why don't you? Respect. One word, respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't wear hoodies and shorts to a funeral out of respect. You do the same thing in the United States Senate. Or when you meet with the president of Israel.
Yeah.
Respect.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
The working man gets up at 7 a.m. and goes to work at 9. It's not bad. It's kind of a leisurely morning.
Yeah, it's time to have your coffee.
I'm not trying to call you the working man.
If he's working at 9, why is he getting up at 7?
I get up at 7.
I get up at 7.
I work at 9.
I get up at 6.
But I have a commute.
Ah.
That's most of my morning.
I mean, I have a commute too, but
if the song is "You're the Working Man,"
yeah, I guess I'm not a working man.
I get up, have my coffee.
So what's the, like? What's the
scroll
like? What's
some
the
TikToks?
Like the time, the gap between when you wake up and when you leave for work? Like, how much time is that?
Hour.
2.5 hours.
3 to 4.
Wow. I'm like 30 minutes, boom, gone.
I know, you roll out of bed into the car.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We're
you're
not
right.
sleepers.
That's a good point.
You have like you have like a fireman's pole that you jump on that takes you straight down into your car.
Right to the bat cave.
Dave, how about you? You have leisurely mornings?
No, I typically get up. I had to get Janice's car for service, just routine service. Got up at 6:15 and was out the door by 7.
What time are you in bed usually?
Oh, I'm an old man now. 9:30.
There you go, brother.
I like to be anyway, 9:30. I get a little upset if it's 10:30. Man, or so.
Of course you do.
I'm just getting started. I'm getting warmed up that time.
I'll do this thing like I'm in bed by 10 every night, but I'll do this thing sometimes at like 8. I'll go, oh man, I might just go lay in bed for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be back down. I'm not just going to stay in bed.
I got you.
Maybe have the TV on just in case. It's like, all right, this is low pressure. I don't have to fall asleep, but this just feels really nice.
Yeah.
So if you had to guess, how many hours a night do we all get? Like each of you?
Well, I can be in bed 10 to 11 hours.
But sleeping?
6.
6, okay.
Yeah, I'm awake a lot.
Yeah, I'd say 6 or 7 for me.
Andrew?
I like 8. Yeah. 8 works for me.
8?
I didn't get that when I was working, but
no.
Now I do.
7, probably. Yeah.
See, like 7's like my low end, even when I'm up late. You know, I'm usually 7. On the weekends, it's 8, 9 sometimes. It's just funny how it works differently. Like I will, if I have to get up at 6, I'm miserable. I'm done. My day's over. I'm ruined.
I'm done.
I'm ruined.
So if we moved to mornings,
I would be in real trouble. I'd try it.
You don't want to do that.
You would do mornings?
Don't want to do. Don't want to do
haven't
that.
Haven't you done morning show?
I did morning show for 6 months, and it was the worst 6 months of my entire life. I hated it.
Good Morning America was a morning show.
Yeah.
You do not want
no,
to do that.
No, it's the worst.
Well, because you have to get like makeup and stuff done, too, Dave. It's not like radio where you can just roll out of bed.
Well, that's true.
Now, and again,
especially
in fairness,
with wheels, I mean, it would have to be makeup.
I know, man. Otherwise, I glow too much.
Dewey.
You guys that are more morning-ish, though, you guys would handle it not too terribly.
I think I would be okay.
I think when I was younger, I would have really struggled with it, but my sleeping habits have gotten better, and I think I could adjust pretty well and like it a lot.
Could you go to sleep at 7?
I probably wouldn't. I would probably go to bed at 10 and then get up and then just take a nap during the day.
Can I be completely honest? So I'm 60 now, but I get a lot of compliments that I don't look 60. I'm convinced that if I did a morning show, I would look 80 in 2 months. I really do. I feel like it would just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're doing this now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, here
Plus,
you go.
Plus, you'll gain at least 15 pounds.
Really? Where's that come from?
Because of your sleep and what you try to do, like you'll eat and then you'll go right to bed. And it just sits there. And then you try, when you get home from a morning shift, you try to keep a normal life, and it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
Impossible to
do. I think Rachel's right. I mean, you know, like on a TV thing, what were you there, 2.5 hours early?
I was doing World News this morning also and some ABC radio stuff. So I got up at 1:09.
Oh.
I was in the office at 2, and but I left the office at, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Boof.
Did you have a fairly normal day after that?
Yeah, I tried, but it was, I mean, there's so many things. The vice president of that show, of Good Morning America, the first week he called me in and he said, okay, doing fine. I just want you to know what is going to happen to your body.
Hmm.
And he said, at 6 months in, you're going to become deathly sick.
Wow.
And I was almost to the day, I was in the hospital with 107 temperature.
Holy
God. Wow.
Holy is right. They really thought I was dying. And I woke up like the third night in the hospital. The fever broke. I thought I was in a swimming pool.
Wow. Man, oh man.
And the 15 pounds I had gained came right off.
Yeah, I bet it did. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with your body. And same with people who work the overnight shift. Mm-hmm. That messes you up, too.
Yeah, that one, though, I mean, you know, we've talked about this. Like, my clock is weird, maybe in part because of that. I thought the overnight wound up being easy. But overnight, for me, was...
It's like your daytime.
It's a four-hour show, though. It's not an 8 or 9 hour shift.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so the show started at 1. I would get there at 11 ish. So, you know, it's not the same. I was in bed by 7 a.m. up at 3 p.m.
Dave, did they pick you up in a limo back then?
Only because we lived up in Greenwich, Connecticut, outside of the city.
Mm-hmm.
They would only do it if the weather was going to be bad.
Okay. I know with a lot of like the Today Show people, they at least used to pick them up in limos and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That still goes up. But you have to basically live in the city.
Gotcha. Nice warm up for the week, right?
Yeah. You know, delightful. Today we were about 44, 45. We'll be 54 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine, 52 on Wednesday. Thursday, an increase in clouds, about 50 degrees. The good deal is that for the most part, overnight temperatures are above freezing. The next system is a storm coming out of Texas. It's not there yet. It's in Southern California right now. Really slow-moving thing. It's going to bring rain, all rain, Thursday night, Friday, and Friday night. Probably see an inch of rain. Good, solid rain.
Which will really help to wash all this crap away, right?
It will wash a lot of the stuff away, where the big blocks of ice are. That's just going to add to the ice. It's just going to freeze on that ice.
I saw today that this is our 16th longest having an inch or more snow on the ground straight in St. Louis.
Wow.
Yep.
Feels the like
record,
it.
Yeah, the record. I think we've talked about this. The records are all basically from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
66 days was the longest.
Wow. That's
straight.
Hard to imagine.
That's my childhood. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Months of that stuff staying there.
If you want to know what cabin fever is all about, that's what it is.
And what was that the result of, Dave? One big snow or just
no? It was the winter. I think it was 76, 77. It was the winter I started at Channel 5 in television.
Mm-hmm.
And it was snow after snow after snow after snow after snow.
Hmm.
It so just brought kept that.
Coming. Yeah. I guess I did.
Yeah. We got to get rid of this cattle.
I brought it.
All the cattle are dying and the crops are just...
Next winter, it was about the same.
I'm going to call for headlines. I have to tell you how cute Andrew was doing headlines, though.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
So Andrew is very comfortable being on the air. You would agree.
I'm getting there.
Until you give him a segment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay.
And it crumbles.
This has a name to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd get nervous. I could tell.
Yeah. I was super nervous. I'm super nervous because I it's one thing when we're all just like chatting. And you throw something in, or even when you like point to me and it's like, hey, you wanted to talk about this. But when like all eyes are on you, and like you said, it's got a name and it's so official.
And a sponsor,
which I figured out, Rach, that was kind of the problem, was that so when we call for headlines and I'd have to go grab the papers and sort them out, you had that sponsorship that you can do, but I can't do that. So I had to just be like, oh, it's oh, we're heading the lines.
That's exactly what he did, Rachel.
Like, he did a lot of that.
Yeah, Andrew, you want to do headlines?
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Here's
a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah. Some headlines.
Headlines, Rach?
Well, headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Thank you, Schnucks. This is the biggest duh survey in the world, but according to a new survey, attractive people land better jobs and get higher salaries.
Thank God.
The study was conducted by researchers at the University of Southern California and Carnegie Mellon University, and it tracked MBA graduates for 15 years after they left business schools. People rated as attractive were 52.4% more likely to land prestigious positions, leading to an average bump in salary of $2,508 per year. The people who were in the most attractive 10%, that yearly advantage jumped to over $5,500.
Jeez.
Wow. Just for being good looking.
Yeah.
Well,
we all know it, though.
No, it's some of it's just genetic. Like, not genetic. What would be the right word? Just how we, just how we operate,
how we respond to attractive people,
just how we respond to appearance in general. Yeah. Not necessarily. I'm sure some of it is conscious. You're like, yeah, I wouldn't mind the hot person in the office. That'd be kind of cool. But I think a lot of it is subconscious too.
I agree, and I think a lot of it is like, oh, they're still doing a really good job. I'm just noticing them more because they're attractive.
Which do you think? Which sex do you think it has a bigger effect on Rach? Men or women? Dealing with, say, for example, okay, let me just say it. I think men react as strongly or stronger to an attractive man than women do.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
something about the 6'5" quarterback and the big man on campus and look at all that hair. I think that we, consciously or subconsciously, give them a pass right this way, sir, even more than women do. And I don't know if it's that way with women on women, but.
Yeah, I mean, I've just observed, I mostly work with men, and I've observed it. Like, if a beautiful man comes in the studio, you guys are all talking about it, like, way,
way
more
faster than
you.
Yeah.
Which is so rare, isn't it, Rachel?
It was the last time Dave was in.
Yeah.
He was in last September, I believe.
We do have a lot of hotties coming in, though, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Starbucks is going to offer free refills and bring back the condiment bars at their stores. They're also having baristas handwrite customers' names on cups using Sharpies. Have I talked about this on the show yet? There is a Sharpie shortage, though.
No.
It's not like Starbucks. They need something like 600,000 Sharpies or something to make this happen. And you can't just go to Staples for that. They don't have the inventory. So they are currently on a search to make this happen.
So, okay, I'm seeing these ads. Is this a new thing where they're like, we're going to write down... You go take on the world, Rage.
Well, they used to handwrite your name. Then they started printing your name on a label.
Yeah.
And they're going back to the handwriting thing as a way to be like, hey, this is more of your local coffee shop.
I think it's a good move.
People are posting TikTok-loaded phones for thousands of dollars on eBay and Facebook. Apparently, a lot of people just deleted TikTok from their phone whenever the ban went into place because they thought, I don't want to just keep opening it and have nothing happen. So then whenever it was brought back, they weren't able to re-download the app. And so now they want
So now back. You can't download the app?
No.
From what I understand, no.
Not in the U.S. So if you're getting a new phone, for example, the only way you could get these apps is if it's preloaded from one of these other
but
ones.
But my busted-ass 14, I could might be able to sell this because I have the app.
It's possible depending on it's possible. I think what people did, I don't know if I saw the same story, Rach, but I think what some people did was they went and bought, in advance of it, they bought some newer phones, not used, but like newer
and
ones.
And then downloaded
those apps to it, and now you can buy the new one with that.
That makes more sense.
And people are paying thousands of dollars.
Mm. I'll be honest, Rach asked me how I did with a TikTok 12-hour ban. I did great, and I was really sad when it came back. Now, I could delete it under my own steam, but having Daddy do it for me kind of felt pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Daddy didn't come through.
Mm. I mean, most of it was while we were all asleep. Most of the ban, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, like midnight.
Let's do one more story, and then we'll take a little break here. Coke is returning to Costco's food courts. Pepsi is out. Pepsi has been the supplier since 2013. The decision to switch back to Coke follows rumors and a shareholder inquiry at the company's annual meeting. Andrew, how do you feel about this as the hot dog combo connoisseur of the show?
I think I appreciate it. I appreciate everything that Costco has been doing lately, actually. I appreciate them pushing back on the DEIs. They made quite a bit of news last week for that. Did you guys see that?
No.
That they are... They basically said we're not going to roll back our DEI stuff in the way that everybody else has been rolling it back. We think it's an important part of the hiring process. We think it's an important part of how we do things here at Costco. I just really appreciate Costco. They stay the course, man. They don't...
What if they did roll back their DEI, but you got half off hot dogs?
Well, I think
75-cent hot dog.
Sorry to hear about that.
I think
hot dogs are good.
Might as well just call me MAGA then, because we're rolling back DEI in this house.
We don't need to be quite so inclusive. Thank you, Dave.
All right.